Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Thursday. The draft creeps ever closer. A few weeks away yet. No huge Packers news. Of course, there were some NFL headlines today, led by the trade of Stephon Diggs, essentially wiping out his contract. The Texans development just breaking a little while ago, that when they made that trade, they basically ripped up the rest of his deal, and it's one and done. You know, obviously they could sign him to an extension, etc., but man, that's a different way of operating there down in Houston. Yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm sure Packers fans have wanted the Packers to do, or some Packers fans have wanted the Packers to do throughout the years. But that's an aggressive move from Houston, man. I tell you what, that is a fascinating development and something to watch. And hell, you know, Diggs is going to be coming to Lambeau this year when the Texans face the Packers. Obviously, we don't have a date yet, but that's going to be a fun game to watch. Two young up-and-coming teams taking slightly different approaches, right, with their young quarterbacks. So, yeah, that's the one kind of headline out there today. Packers quiet as per usual. Nothing really surprising there. But I will say, you know, something I continue to see in comment sections and in my Twitter mentions is this idea of being set in certain places on the roster. And I'm just here to try and dissuade you all from that notion and that idea that the Packers in any way, shape, or form look at a group of players at any position and say, yeah, no, we're good. Like, yes, of course, there's going to be priority placed on certain positions where they need more bodies or they need more upside or they want to elevate the floor a little bit or try and shoot for the ceiling, etc. But man, they are never set. We've heard Brian talk so much this offseason already about competition in every room. And I think whether that's the offensive line, along the offensive line, whether that is, you know, in the secondary, any of the spots, or even a wide receiver, where Packers fans seem to think they've arrived at this phenomenal wide receiver group. And look, I'm not denying or taking anything away from what was a fabulous 2023 from that group. Man, you are getting better or you are getting worse, and there is no guarantee that that group shows up in 2024 and just picks up right where they left off. Each and every one of those guys has to bring it, and they will undoubtedly face competition, both from, you know, each other, but potentially, yeah, there could be a draft pick or two. That would not surprise me, and it shouldn't surprise you. And that's the crux of this. It's like I keep seeing people talk about, oh, this will never happen. Man, how long you've been watching the NFL draft and particularly how the Packers approach it? I mean, yes, there are things you can say will probably never happen. Like they'll never take a punter in the first round. Although at 25, who knows? But, you know, I just get it out of your vernacular. They want competition. It breeds success. It breeds better players. It elevates all boats, so to speak. You know, they want that in each room. And looking long term, they're going to try and find, obviously, the best value available when they're on the clock. But they're not going to say, oh, no, we're set there. And that's not going to be a reason not to take a guy. Just a little bugaboo of mine that kind of drives me nuts. And I'm sure everyone's ignoring me, so that's good. Hello, everybody in the comment section. So good to see everybody. How you doing? Joe, starting us off. What's up, man? Packers, right guard will be Ryan. Tom, draft pick, other. Yeah, I talked about this a little bit yesterday. I suspect Ryan will get first shot at it, but I'll be shocked if there isn't robust competition for that spot. I think we'll see a number of bodies brought in via the draft, and who knows who might rise to the occasion who's already in the building, right? Yeah, but I do suspect Ryan will get first shot when they line up in off-season workouts and off-season program. He'll probably be your starter to begin with. Now, that doesn't mean he's being handed anything, doesn't mean he's won the job, but that's where I think it starts. But then we'll see how it transpires throughout the off-season, and particularly training camp. Joey, what's up, man? With the 25th pick, the Packers select B.J. Raji, GOAT. And he takes the ball into the end zone and does a dance. Patrick, thank you so much for the super chat. Greatly appreciate the support, man. Do you have a story or recall Banky's reaction when Mike Sherman traded up for BJ Sander? I know Corey's affinity for the Packers drafting kickers or punters. Thank you for all you do. Random Packer, Najee Davenport. Thank you, Patrick, again, for the super chat. You know, I got to be honest. I don't think I was hanging out with Banky when that draft occurred. If I remember right, I think I was on vacation with my folks. But I can't be held to that. I know I was on vacation with my folks when they drafted Jordan Love. When they drafted Aaron Rodgers. But Banky, I don't recall him being too upset. I think he was a lot more chill about the draft back then. You know, he was one of those people who, you know, I'll read about it on Monday morning kind of thing. You know, so yeah, I don't remember him being too upset about it. But I'll have to ask him. Packer transplants next Tuesday. I will ask that question and get an answer for you. Son of Krypton, what's going on? Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Been seeing a lot of Reed Wick's best Green Bay wide receivers comments. When healthy, the best wide receiver on Green Bay is Christian Watson. He changes how opposing defensive secondaries play Green Bay. I tend to agree, man. And look, I don't take anything away from everything that, you know, Reed and Wicks did last year and will potentially continue to do in Green Bay. I think Reed can be a special player. And I think we've seen some really special traits out of Wicks. And I think, yes, I think Wicks needs more opportunities. But man, I'm with you. With Christian on the field, they, you know, are able to operate and give some window dressing, right? Like his speed is going to scare you regardless of how they line him up or where they line him up. But I do think, yeah, there's zero doubt in my mind that if he can stay healthy, and I know it's a monster if, underline it, italicize it, if he can. I mean, the sky's the limit for Christian Watson. I really think he's only begun to scratch the surface, and that's a scary proposition if you're a Green Bay Packers opponent. And I do agree that, yes, teams will have to play you a bit differently when Christian's consistently on the field. That's only natural. You can't, you know, in any way, shape, or form, not be cognizant of where he is. And the idea of needing at least a safety over the top or rolling coverage to his side, it's got to be, you know, top of mind for every defensive coordinator. I don't know how it wouldn't be, right? So I'm with you, man. Charm City Cheesehead, thank you so much for joining the Carry the G Club. Really appreciate you. Thanks for the support. Thanks a lot. Nags used to be more punctual. Yeah, sorry. I was having issues with my camera. Sorry about that, guys. Big B. Big B is here. What's up, Big B? Random Packer, Brandon Jackson. Absolute legend. Man, Brandon Jackson was the man. I got to shoot a video with him when I was at Bleacher Report. He was a good dude. Ryan, thanks for the super chat. If Xavier Leggett is there at 58, do we take him? Crystal ball time. Yes. How's that? Mimsy, what's going on? Thanks for the super chat. Is Bo Melton for real or a Sam Congato folk legend? No, he is not a folk legend. And hey, that's Dr. Sam Congato to you, my friend. No, I think Bo Melton's legit as hell. I don't doubt for a moment that, you know, he was a bit frustrated, probably between bouncing from, you know, Seattle to Green Bay and not really getting opportunities. But when he did, he certainly made the most of them. You know, I don't doubt for a moment that he is going to continue to, you know, rise to the occasion when given opportunities. I don't know how much that will happen, given the kind of depth there, and who knows who they might also bring in via the draft. But man, I think if you keep him on the field and ask him to deliver consistently, I think he will. He has so far, and I don't see any reason other than, you know, whatever happens in the offseason. I don't see why that would change. I talk about it all the time. You guys have heard me say it a million times. I'm a total broken record on this, but so much of this depends on the player, right, and the work that he's putting in right now during the offseason. And I don't care about workout videos. I don't care about social media presence. I'm talking about doing the work, especially when people aren't looking. That's what it's all about, man. The greats get after it. You know, and if you want to stick around in the league and have a long, long-ass career, that's what you do. And that is entirely up to the player. And again, I've seen nothing out of Bo that would suggest otherwise, that he's not doing those things, right? And given the stuff he put on film last year, kid looks legit to me, man. We'll see. Joey, thanks again. Random thought, I don't know why slot corners aren't valued more in the NFL, considering what you ask those guys to do in coverage and playing the run. Thoughts? It's a great question, man. It's a great question, especially, and I've talked about this with Tazeem a bit, and I know I talked about it with Justice earlier this year. It's fascinating to me that those guys aren't kind of, I guess, more valued, but it just seems like the league is so sub kind of dominant as far as packages and trying to match up with personnel that, you know, these guys who are quote unquote slot corners are sometimes asked to do multiple things and not in maybe consistent ways, the way that, you know, the perimeter corners are every week. You know where they're going to be, you know what they're going to be asked to do. Those guys are more jack of all trades, where some excel in that situation and some have their, you know, weaknesses exposed pretty readily, pretty quickly. So if you find a great one, I think those guys will get and do get paid, but it's real hard to find a great one. You know, somebody who does every single thing you're asking of him at a really super high level on a consistent basis. You know, I mean, you know, that the gold standard is Charles Woodson. When Woodson was in town, that was, you know, that's the gold standard, right? But that is a very rare player, you know, that can do everything as far as not just covering, but also supporting in the run and being able to pressure the quarterback and being able to take anybody, and I'm talking anybody, in coverage, whether it is backs out of the backfield, tight ends down the seam, any wide receiver, especially that slot guy who's got a lot of good moves in the open space, etc. Again, it's a rarefied player that's able to do all that. You know, I think the last guy who was probably in Green Bay who had those skills, not at the Woodson level, but, you know, across the board, really good at almost everything they asked him to do, was Micah Hyde. And then they let him walk. Don't get me started, man. Nick, what's going on, man? Over under 4.5 O-linemen pick this year. My money is on the over. Can't wait to drink adult pops for 3 days straight and read all the player profiles. 4.5 O-linemen? Man, that's a push for me. I think under. I know, you know, they're going to take one, probably two, maybe even three. But over four? I don't know, man. I mean, they do have 11 picks. So it's not impossible. And they have certainly gorged themselves on offensive linemen in drafts in the past. So, you know, hell, they got, what, 4 7th rounders? Maybe they pull the trigger on 4 offensive linemen in the 7th round. It's entirely possible. Joey, thanks again, man. Random thought. Oh, I got that one. Sorry, I was just backing up here. Got that one. Good. Greg, thanks for the super chat. What is your absolute fave road stadium and why? Oh, man. Oh, good question. Well, I've said this probably before, but as far as like working, it's Dallas, it's Jerry World, because they have Peroni on tap after the gig. Like once the game is over, the Peroni is available, like at the beverage station. So you just go, pour yourself a pint, sit down, write your story. That's hard to beat, man. As far as like as a fan though, I don't know. I mean, none of them are great comparative to Lambeau. That's Lambeau's such the gold standard, right? I will say there are a few that I have yet to be at, get to, etc. Hold on. So this is the funny part. So, you know, I have a co-founder. I don't know if you guys know this. I have a co-founder here at Cheesehead TV named Corey Banky, who should, you would think, know when I'm doing a live chat, right? You would suspect that he would know that I'm live on the air. Yet here he is. Here he is texting me. hold on. Sorry, guys. Justice. So where was I? Absolute fave road stadium. I don't know, man. I will say Buffalo was dope. Buffalo was great. I know they're getting a new stadium, so you know it's going to be a little different, and it's going to be much more corporate. But man, it's because it's the fans that make the experience, right? Like every stadium, especially now, they're making like every stadium kind of similar. You know. but it's the fans that make the experience. And at Buffalo, it was insane in the best possible way, you know? So as a fan, probably Buffalo, but yeah, working hard to beat Peroni on tap after the game. John, what's up, man? Can we get Emory Hunt on the Cheesehead TV draft party? John, I'd love to. I actually talked to Emory at the combine. It's, you know, it depends on what CBS wants to do with him. You know, he's working for CBS Sports. So if they're going to utilize him during the draft, it's hard for us to do so. But I would absolutely love it, man. You guys know I adore Emory. And, man, he's come such a long way. He's built up his own career. I'm so in awe of what he does. He's so good at what he does. And he's totally self-made. He's so impressive. Bryce, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. Excuse me. Curious, Nags. 19, 20, 21 drafts were misses. Curious what causes that. Bad luck. Random Packer Alan Barber let up 8 sacks in one game to the Bengals. Alan Barber. Wow. Man, sometimes you just miss. It's an inexact science. But look, the last two drafts have certainly looked like hits, right? What caused that? And Brian has been asked a couple of times, you know, have you changed anything in your process? Not, you know, big time, nothing major. Sometimes it's you miss on the evaluation. Sometimes it is just a bad fit once the guy hits the ground running in the NFL. Sometimes he doesn't have the opportunities he thought he was going to get, etc. You know, but as far as some magic pinpointing of why did those drafts turn out poorly, I don't think there's a one catch-all answer. You know, the hope is you can continue utilizing what you've done these last couple drafts and kind of keep on that tip, because they've found some really, really productive players and some really promising prospects. I think the biggest difference here these last two drafts, though, is if you look across and how much they were asked to do right out of the gate. I mean, a lot of the pieces in those earlier drafts were kind of supplementing things, whereas these last two drafts have been about getting these guys on the field right away and giving them all sorts of opportunities. And they've certainly made the most of it, right? Maybe that's something they look at going forward, not being so reticent to play rookies right away, which is something they have been over the course of the last, you know, couple decades. So, yeah, man, I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all answer to that. Christopher, what's up? Pour out a cold one for the guys at APC Pod. Yeah, Christopher, I saw that, man. I reached out to Justice today about it. I really hate it. SB Nation doing them dirty. But this is the thing, and I know Paul put this out there because he and Matt's pod was affected by it as well. You know, he said it, I think, last year on Twitter. Like, and obviously I've kind of lived this existence where, you know, Paul was saying, you want to get on the internet and make content, etc., build up an audience utilizing one of these, you know, gargantuan media companies. If you're going to be creating content for them, make sure you're building A, your own audience, and B, have your own thing on the side, always going. And this is something I tell every single person who ever asks me about, I want to do what you do, I want to get into the media game, etc. Have something that you own, that you are continuously contributing to. And it doesn't have to be big, doesn't have to be huge, but something that's yours. And then, you know, if you are working for a Vox Media or that type of company, make sure you're building your audience, because eventually what you want to do is go independent. And the quicker you do it, the better you're going to be. Because God knows, ask people at Sports Illustrated, another place I've worked. They have been through the ringer. And what would you call that? No shot at the ringer. But they've been through it, man. And, you know, that was a job that I had for a while that I was really glad I got out of it. I was really glad I left Gannett when I did. I'm really glad we're independent. It's tough, man. And they do great shit. That's the other thing. No one gives a crap that it's quality content that is just being absolutely flushed down the toilet. Blogging with the Boys. That is a great pod. Cowboys fans now, you know, good, you know, bye. That pod has just been ripped off the face of the internet. It's bad shit, man. Bad, bad shit. Mimsy, what's up? Boosting Dennis's question, can we get Larrivee on draft party? I wish. Wayne is doing his thing for the Packers along with Billy. We had actually spoken with iHeart and 97.3 The Game about partnering during the draft, but the Packers are being less than cooperative. So we're just going to do our thing, and they'll do their thing. Maybe like Billy and Wayne will have like a moment during a TV timeout or a radio timeout, as it were, and be able to kind of patch in real quick, say hello on draft night, but that's probably about it. David, what's up, man? Cole Palmer, GOAT. I missed the end of the match, but man, that's the Chelsea I know and love. Go, roar out to a 2-0 lead and then give it up like in 5 minutes. Love it. But yes, they are wasting Cole Palmer's prime. John, what's up, man? I hate that I now say a lot of ball game left in all events in my life. Work, sports, outside the Packers, family, you name it, I say it. Love you, Nags. Why do you hate it? It's a good life mantra. I know my daughter said that the other day, Madeline, my oldest. She was like, a lot of ball game left. I can't believe I just said that. It's catchy. Tobias, what's going on, man? Random Packer, Terrence Murphy, career cut short due to injury. But, man, what could have been? You know, that night in Carolina. It's a tough one. And, yes, he looked promising and legit as hell that early part of his career in Green Bay. Absolutely hate it. Can we get Russ Ball on the Cheesehead TV draft party? All right, now we are off the rails. I got to go. I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and pick yourself up a Cheesehead TV draft guide. They are available now. Do it, people. You want to get it. The link is in the description of this video. You can pick up your copy today. It's like hundreds of pages of Packers draft goodness. Do it, people. You know you want to. Oh, did I see a last second super chat? I think I did. David says, Nags, check the result. You'll be happy. Okay, I will. I can't wait. I'm very excited. All right, buddy. Have a great night. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot. Have a good night. Go Pack, go.